You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
This week for Tomorrow's World, we're also focusing on health issues, most specifically the increase of youth vaping in Aotearoa. The Ministry of Health in their most recent statistics found that 1 in 12 people over the age of 15 are vaping daily. In response to this, Labour released a set of proposed policies last week to tighten the rules around vaping. This included restricting vape shops to 600 nationwide, increasing fines up to $15,000 for retailers that sell to youth, and making vape products less visible in shops. First up, I spoke with Otago Public Health Professor Janet Hoke about the current and potential health impacts of youth vaping, the efficiency of Labour's proposed policies, and what more we need to do. As part of their campaign, Labour has promised to crack down on youth vaping. Now, the Ministry of Health, in their most recent statistics, found that 1 in 12 people over the age of 15 are vaping daily. Now, before we get into the specifics of Labour's policies, what have been the current health impacts of this increase in youth vaping?
Well, look, before we talk about the impacts of the increase in youth vaping, it's probably important to note that when you have a look at data of vaping daily, it covers all population groups and we have very different prevalences of vaping across age groups. So it's quite useful to think about daily vaping among young people, and we have some data on that from the Snapshot Year 10 survey, which is conducted by ASH New Zealand, and that shows that about 10% of young people aged 14 to 15 are vaping every day, about 20% of rangatahi Māori are, and around 25% of young Māori women. So they're quite different figures, and I think they're quite useful figures to bear in mind when we think about the impact that vaping has on young people. Now, we know that that there are many impacts that vaping has. We tend to focus on physical health impacts, but actually I think it's probably more important to think about the other impacts that vaping has. So they're the impacts on young people's mental well-being, the feelings of anxiety and lethargy that they experience, the disruptions to their relationships with their family. They're often hiding their vaping from caregivers, and that's something that disrupts the trusting relationship that many young people seek. It can lead them to feel a bit alienated from their friends, particularly if they're vaping and their friends aren't, and they've got to go away and find time and vape. It takes them outside their social group, it costs them money, it reduces their fitness. I think we need to think more holistically about the impact that vaping has on young people.
Given the current numbers, how important do you think it is to tackle youth vaping? How much worse is it going to get if we don't do anything?
Well, it's difficult to know how prevalence might increase in the future, and certainly it would be really good to see a decline. And we are hoping, of course, that the measures the government has recently put in place might start to have some impact. But I think it's extremely important that we do more to tackle vaping among young people. I think we need to recognise that people who smoke do need reduced harm alternatives. So we've got to make sure that those people can access vaping products because they're not as harmful to them as smoking. But at the same time, we don't need to make those products as widely available as we have been. And that would be a very important step to reduce youth vaping. And there are many other things that can be done as well. We can get rid of disposable vapes, which are very cheap, which target young people, which have had high nicotine concentrations and are very accessible to young people. We can move vaping products out of dairies. We can do quite a few additional things to try and reduce youth vaping. And I think it's very important that we start focusing on some of those possibilities.
One of the Labour's proposed policies is to make vaping products less visible in storefronts. Now, is this going to be very effective given the high visibility of vaping products and culture and advertising and social media?
Yeah, I mean, I think that anything that reduces the visibility of vaping products and starts to change the perception that vaping is just another normal social practice rather than something that should be adopted only by people who smoke, who are transitioning off smoking and then ideally off vaping as well. I think anything that changes that perception is going to be a really important thing to do. I think it is important also to recognise that advertising of vaping products in mainstream media and social media shouldn't be permitted. I think there is a real challenge in regulating what might be organic content or what might be influencer and paid content in social media, and we certainly need to turn our attention to looking more at that.
Are there actions that you feel Labor should have included in their proposal but haven't?
Yeah, I think it will be really important to put in place some support for young people who have started vaping, who really regret the high dependence that they now have on nicotine. We've got to do something to support those young people to stop vaping, and I think that's a real gap in the services that we're able to offer at the moment. So we really need to think, how are we going to support those young people who are currently vaping, who want to stop and who just haven't been able to quit? I think there's a lot of detail that's not present in the fact sheet that Labor put out in its plan to crack down on youth vaping. So we need to know how they're going to be putting in place the measures that will reduce the number of outlets selling vaping products. We need to make sure that there is better support and advice given to people who are smoking and who want to transition to vaping so that they can make that transition successfully while at the same time protecting young people from exposure to the products and non-compliance with the current age restrictions. So I think it's important that the plan has said that there will be an increase in penalties and that there will be stronger monitoring, but we really need more information about how much stronger that monitoring is going to be and when those increased penalties are going to kick in.
That was Otago Public Health Professor Janet Hoke on youth vaping increases and the public health actions that need to be taken. Next up, I also spoke with Leti Tufongo, the chair of Health Coalition Aotearoa's Smoke-Free Expert Advisory Group. I spoke to her about current community concerns around youth vaping, especially tactics that are being used to encourage vaping in youth culture. I also asked about how Labor's policies will work and why the Health Coalition is in support of stricter rules. Labor has recently proposed to tighten the rules on vaping in an attempt to significantly reduce the number of youth vaping. Why do you think this is important, and how concerning are the statistics regarding youth vaping at the moment?
So it's really important at the moment in regards to youth vaping that we support more of our rangatahi who are actually wanting to quit using vapes. What we're seeing is that there has been an increase in terms of the Year 10 ASH survey of our rangatahi Māori females who are taking up vaping. And what we're seeing on the ground and what we're hearing from a lot of our rangatahi is that, you know, a lot of them have not smoked before. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword. You know, we vaping was introduced as a tool to support more people to quit. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is from the industry using the same tactics to lure more young people to buying these products. And so, you know, we want them to be, you know, free of any addiction so that they could thrive in our spaces and to fully participate in life in all areas. So what we're seeing is that there is a massive tsunami swell of rangatahi taking up vaping, and that's a huge concern.
Now, you mentioned these luring tactics that are targeting young people and getting them to vape. What, in your view, are some of the more concerning tactics that are being used?
Yeah, so, you know, what we're seeing from on the ground is that there are a lot more places, vapes stores popping up, and particularly in areas, in low socioeconomic areas, in low-income communities. And so, you know, when you go to the shop, it looks very different now. You know, it used to be of you know, shops, or be a corner dairy, or be at the butcher, or be post office. Now you're seeing a dairy, a bakery, as well as a vape store right there. And so, you know, accessibility is massive. And so, you know, it's the same tactics that they're using to ensure that it's right there, front and centre. Our kids walk past a dairy shop every single day in the morning, you know, their regular walk to school, as well as the appeal and making it attractive. The same thing that they've done for tobacco. We know that, you know, using bright colours to attract and appeal more to youth. Now, they are designed more to adults, but the appeal is more to youth. So we want to make sure that, you know, that it's less attractive, like what we've seen with smoked tobacco. Plain packaging has also helped with tobacco. We also think that would also help in terms of making it less attractive and having plain packaging for vape devices.
One of Labor's policies in relation to this is to make vaping products less visible in storefronts. Now, is this going to be very effective given the high visibility of vaping products and culture and advertising and social media? Have they not focused on other aspects of this sort of luring in, as you say?
Yeah, I think we could do a lot of that and more. You know, we don't see advertisements of cigarettes on TV. However, we do see a lot more of vaping advertisements, mostly on social media. So I think that's also an area that we need to focus on. The algorithms that they're focusing on and what they click on is really important. So, you know, we've seen the same patterns happen time and time again, what the industry has used, and particularly with making it more attractive for our young rangatahi across Aotearoa. What we're also seeing is that we're hearing on the ground of how young people, you know, are waking up in the middle of the night to use vape. And so this whole package of making it more appealing, making it more addictive with high nicotine levels, as well as accessibility, that those are the and great advertising directed at rangatahi. Those are deadly combinations that we've seen in the past, and they're using this again. So we need to be really smart in ensuring that our legislations, our regulations are much more tightened so that they are not another statistic that we see coming through the hospitals or approaching or needing more support. And that's one other thing that we also need to focus on, is ensuring that those rangatahi who do need support, that we create programs that are tailor-made for our rangatahi, and that the support and accessibility to that is there for them, either through their schools or through their faith-based groups, connecting in with any kind of like sports and just places where our rangatahi are, so that they have full accessibility to those programs to quit vaping.
One of Labor's other promises is to ensure that there are no more than 600 vaping stores nationwide. Now, there are currently around 1,200 registered vape stores across the country. Is Labor's promise realistic?
Listen, I think we are doing reducing supply around tobacco. I think we need to have a very encouraging and bold goal to ensure that we have less accessibility to vapes. I mean, 600 is a great number, but, you know, they still need to win the election in order for this to happen. So, I mean, it's great that they've called this out and that they want 600. We need to make sure that whoever is in government makes a very bold goal and actually follows it through with action of having less vape retailers around in our communities.
The Aotearoa Health Coalition has welcomed Labor's recent proposed policies. However, several of your members, including the coalition's co-chair, Boyd Swinburne, has publicly said that this is a slow move and seen as long overdue. Do you believe that the government is too late in its actions to tackle this issue?
Yeah, I feel like they are, yes, they are. They have been very slow in tackling this issue. You know, we've got this goal to be smoke-free by 2025, but, you know, we've also been seeing the increase of our rangatahi being, you know, addicted to vapes. So it's a double-edged sword. They could do a lot more, but, you know, like I said before, it is an election year. We need to ensure that the rollout and communication of these regulations is done in a way where everyone knows about what is coming up. Everyone is expected to understand the rules, as well as if something is happening, if we see a vape store that is not compliant, that people know how to make a complaint, because they are empowered, they have key information, and also they could do something about protecting their rangatahi and their whānau.
Are there any specific actions that you feel Labor should have included in their proposal but didn't?
I think in the regulations and during the public consultation, what we've been hearing from whānau is that if we're seeing a reduction of tobacco outlets, that we also need to see a reduction of vaping stores as well at the same time. And they thought, you know, what we've been hearing from Māori whānau, Pacifica, Aingas, is that it's been a very slow process, and why haven't we done this sooner? And so what we're now seeing is that there is a lot of people who are wanting to set up shop racing to apply for licenses, and what we've seen in the media is that we have shops who are setting up shop you know, within 300 metres within our schools and our marae, and so it's really important that actually we call that out, and a lot of our whānau are feeling very frustrated that they're seeing this happen.
That was Leti Tufonga from the Health Coalition talking about how we can further tackle youth vaping in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.